We're on Test Rufus Podcast. Please subscribe.
Scene 15. The winding stairs to the cave of someone not worth mentioning. Now high above Minas Morgul, Frodo, Sam, and Gollum continue up the winding stairs. As Frodo climbs, he loses his footing, crying out in shock as he nearly falls.
Careful, Master. Careful. Very far to fall.
Gollum pulls himself up to a small landing and looks down, watching Frodo and Sam follow. He randomly throws rocks down on them.
Very dangerous on the stairs. Falling rocks is all over.
I'm gonna take my sword and slice off your...
Sam, enough! At last, Frodo comes to the ledge. He struggles as he tries to pull himself up. One should always pull themselves up from the bootstraps. I'll continue.
Come, Master.
As Frodo tries to get a good grip on the rock around him, the ring falls out from under his shirt. Gollum watches it with gleaming eyes.
Come to Smeagol.
Talking as if to a puppy.
Come on, boy. Come on. You got it. Come on, boy.
Slowly he reaches out with his right hand, his fingers moving towards the ring around Frodo's neck. The call of the ring echoes in the background. A phone rings. Even as his hand nears the ring, Sam climbs up behind Frodo.
Mr. Frodo!
Sam attempts to pull out his sword but instead pulls out his belt, pants falling to the valley floor.
Get back, you! Don't touch him! I'll shave your skin off!
There is a slight pause, but even as Gollum seems to reach for the ring, his hand brushes past it, and he takes Frodo's hand into his own, pulling him to safety. How lovely.
What is he, hey, poor Smeagol? What has Smeagol ever done to him? Put your pants back on, you stupid fat hobbit.
Gollum leans over to Frodo, who lays on the ground, panting.
Master.
Gollum strokes Frodo's arm gently, applying aloe. He then speaks with a whispering voice. Frodo gets rather uncomfortable.
Master carries a heavy burden. Smeagol knows. Heavy, heavy burden. So heavy. Like something heavy.
Behind them, Sam is pulling himself up to the landing.
Fat one cannot know. His law takes all. It knows all.
Gollum positions himself beside Frodo, his mouth inches away from Frodo's ear.
Please move over a little.
All right. Let Smeagol look after Master, yes? Sam pulls himself over the edge, slowly, watching as Gollum whispers in his master's ear.
He wants it. He needs it. Smeagol sees it in his eyes. He'll devour it.
Frodo listens quite contently, but with doubt and uncertainty creeping into his supple eyes.
Very soon he will ask you for it. You will see. The fat obese one will take it from you.
With suspicion in his eyes, Frodo swings around to see Sam behind him. Sam is silently playing a video game. Frodo clutches the ring protectively. Sam, quite puzzled.
What?
Scene 16. The steward and his son with a side of gum. We are in Osgiliath, the Witch King of Angmar with his fell beast. Angmar with his fell beast sitting up in the top of a tower, watches the ruined city. The ugly-faced orc commander comes to see him.
Send forth all legions. Do not...
Send forth all the legions. Don't stop the commence the attack until the city's taken. Slay them all.
How then can you capture the city if you don't attack it?
I will, break him. Come on.
What?
It would be better if...
Legolas, shut up! In Minas Tirith, Gandalf stands upon the city wall. Then out of nowhere, some Gondorian soldiers come by to ask some deep questions of the wizard. Guard number one.
Where are Theoden's riders?
Guard number two.
Will Rohan's army come?
Guard three. Mithrandir. Gandalf is looking at a picture of Pippin with eyes widened and a big smile on his face. Apparently, guards 3 through 135 are getting quite impatient with the old wizard.
Mithrandir!
Gandalf stops daydreaming.
To answer your question, courage is the best defense that you have now.
In Denethor's hall, Pippin kneels before Denethor, taking his oaths. Faramir stands in the background playing World of Warcraft. Pippin, nearby, says the following words.
Here do I swear fealty and service to Gondor, in peace or war, and living or dying.
Pippin hesitates and carries on with uncertainty. Much amused, Denethor smiles condescendingly upon the hobbit.
From the shoes beyond... Home is behind, the world ahead.
He closes his eyes and takes a breath. A deep breath.
From this hour henceforth, until my lord releases me, or death take me.
Denethor stands up and walks to Pippin, quite energetically, yet ignorant.
And I shall not forget it, nor fail to reward that which is given.
Denethor holds out his hand and Pippin closes his eyes and quickly kisses the man's ring. Denethor cups Pippin's face and makes him kiss it again, with more love and conviction. He then makes him look up. He places his tambourine on the table and proceeds to walk over to his chair.
Fealty with love.
Denethor, while on the way to his aforementioned chair, instead makes his way to a table that is set nearby. Well, switching up things here.
Valor with honor. Disloyalty with vengeance.
Denethor takes a sharp look at Faramir and sits down. He eyes his son as he starts to fill his plate.
I do not think we should so lightly abandon the outer defenses. Defenses that your brother long held intact.
Faramir, now questioningly, ignorantly.
What would you have me do?
Denethor, quite dubiously.
I will not yield the river in Pelennor unfought.
Act like a man, not a buffoon. Osgiliath must be retaken. Faramir, now stupidly cute.
My lord Osgiliath is overrun.
Denethor looks up to find a cherry dropping from a frog's mouth.
Much must be risked in war. But we lost fair and square in rock, paper, scissors. There's no take-backs.
Denethor, now mockingly.
Is there a captain here who still has the courage to do his lord's will?
Pippin turns his head to see the hardened look upon the face of the steward. Then turns to Faramir.
A look of sadness comes into the eyes of the young captain as he watches his father ignore the cherry, but eat the frog.
You wish now that our places have been exchanged? That I was eaten and Boromir was not?
There is a pensive silence before Denethor answers, softly, almost in a whisper.
Yes, I wish that. I also wish for a pony, but you don't see me complaining.
With this, he brings a goblet to his lips and drinks deeply. Faramir looks at his father, his moistened eyes glimmering in the light of the first full moon of the noonday sun.
Now, sobbing like an orc, since you were robbed, Boromir, and your pony, I will do what I can in their stead.
Faramir bows to his father and passes gas and turns to leave. Oh, how childish is this script!
Yes, I know... You don't need to remind me.
Put pants on. Pippin watches the father and son. Denethor, seated in silence, grasping the goblet with both hands, and with his other two hands playing solitaire? They had solitaire in Middle-earth. Faramir's departing figure departs the room, in a silhouette of the figure of a man resembling the steward's other, less interesting son, Faramir. Huh. Anyway, halfway down the hall, Faramir turns to look at Denethor. Screaming, apparently, Faramir yells,
If I should return, think better of me, mother!
Faramir takes a last look at his father's morbid and dilapidated face, then turns and continues down the hall.
But as Faramir approaches the door, Denethor calls out after him, his voice hard.
That will depend on the manner of your return.
Oh, wait. If I win, could you give me an addition to my allowance?
That will depend on the manner of your return.
What about stock options?
That will depend on the manner of your return.
Confused, Faramir goes to the table and sees a tape recorder repeating his father's last words.
His father is nowhere to be seen.
Scene 17. Go home, then we'll snuggle. Frodo, Sam, and Gollum rest on a small ledge, in a small lodge, under a small culvert beside a small man carrying a small wooden horse, with small figurines inside the small wooden horse, held by the small man under the...
Small man carrying a horse. Okay. They drink some mochaccino and play Halo. This really is dated. I can't say that enough. They depart in the morning, and that night they rest on another small ledge, but with no small lodge, and you know the rest. High above Minas Club Morgul, Sam watches Gollum suspiciously and struggles to keep an eye on him, but is soon overcome by sleep. He proceeds to rip his eye out of his socket and toss it at Gollum, so an eye is always on him.
Why?
Why? As Sam's eyes close wearily, Gollum snap open like a mousetrap. Then Sam opens his, and Gollum closes his. This continues for a few days until Sam quits. Gollum then crawls over to Sam's bag and takes from it some lean pockets and underwear. Gollum, now with disgust,
"Ugh, why would he leave his diapers in here?"
What was that? Sam, now suspiciously,
"What are you up to?"
Gollum turns, surprised.
"I'm up to my neck in bilses, that's what."
Sam, now sounding like a real douche,
"Sneaking off, are we?"
Sneaking? Fat Hobbit is always so polite. I said I was up to my neck's in bills. Smeagol shows them secret ways that nobody else could find, and they say sneak? Very nice friend. Oh yes, my precious, very nice friend.
Sam, now visibly and audibly frustrated. All right,
shut up. You just startled me, that's all.
Sam looks down from where he is standing, then speaks less roughly.
Would you mind if I slaughtered you right now?
Gollum, quite uneasily.
There has to be someone who's manipulating the soundboard!
I want them here! I don't care if you have one less... I don't need a warning, I need competency to read this freaking screenplay!
Now, let us start over, shall we? Gollum, quite uneasily, says...
Yes.
What were you doing?
I was bowel movementing all over Mordor's pretty roxes.
Fine, have it your way. With lettuce and extra mustard too, if you can follow that.
Sam kneels to wake up Frodo.
I'm sorry to wake you, Mr. Frodo. We must be moving on.
Quickly, Frodo sits up and speaks angrily.
It's dark still. I'm tired. We can destroy the ring whenever we want. The movie lasts for a couple more hours. At least let me get some shut-eye for another 10 minutes.
Good night. Reassuredly looking at his toenails.
It's always dark here.
Frodo, ghastly and other things. What? Sam looks into his bag, then moves his hands about it desperately.
In anguish. It's gone!
In anguish, too.
My gerbil? It was my last one. I told you to spare him from your massive appetite, Sam! No! The lane pockets!
What? That's all we have left! Sam stands up and turns to look at Gollum, who is squatting a little higher up, merely scratching his elbow. Sam now angrily,
"He must have took it! He took it!"
Smeagol? No, not poor Smeagol. Smeagol hates nasty elf bread, lean pockets.
You're a lion rat! We gave those to Arwen! What do you do with it? Where are the pockets?
Frodo looks at Sam, suspicion coming into his eyes.
He doesn't eat it.
You eat everything.
He gets up and stands before Sam, a frown forming on his face, mainly because he just let out a juicy fart. Wow. 19-year-old. Wow. This is a dated screenplay. Goodness, I hope this writer, or screenplay writer, grew up a bit. So much fart jokes.
He can't have taken it.
Look, what's this?
Gollum brushes the crumbs of the pockets from Sam's cloak.
Crumbs on his jacket, sis. He took it!
How devilish and fiendish. Frodo looks at Sam mistrustfully, confusion in his rolling eyes. Sam is speechless due to Frodo's discharge, but Gollum, on the other hand, jumps down and kneels before Frodo.
He took it. I've seen him. He's always stuffing his face when Master's not looking.
That's a filthy lie!
Sam strikes Gollum furiously. Oh, it's getting intense now. The small creature falls to the ground. Sam gets to the ground, reaching for Gollum's throat.
You stinking two-faced sneak!
Frodo watches the fight in confusion. Sam, meanwhile, has given Gollum multiple fractures and concussions.
Sam, stop it! Sam, stop it! Sam, stop it!
Sam, stop it!
Sam, stop it!
Sam, stop it!
Sam, stop it!
Gollum and Sam in unison.
Shut up, Frodo! Shut up, Frodo! Shut up, Frodo!
Wait, where was Gollum in that one? Frodo makes towards them and with his remaining strength joins the fight. Sam now focuses on Frodo and relentlessly bludgeons him with a wok pot. Gollum attempts to leave, but Frodo bites his leg.
I'll kill him!
Sam, no, I will!
With this, Frodo's eyes roll back and he sinks down on the ground, Sam's hands grappling his throat.
Oh my.
Realizing what just happened.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to go so far. I was just so angry and so hungry. I just wanted to eat him. Oh, please, can I?
I said that line under protest. Disgusting. Alarmed, Sam looks at his master, who sits wearily on the ground as though spent.
Here, let's just rest a bit.
Breathlessly.
I'm all right. I'm all right.
No, you're not all right. You're exhausted. It's that golem. It's this place. It's our gambling debts from Isengard. It's Legolas popping up out of nowhere. It's Arwen getting more parts. It's that thing around your neck.
At the mention of the ring, Frodo's eyes widen around his head. A frown rises to his face and his left nostril. Slowly he turns to Sam, wearing an expression of distrust and of discomfort. To himself.
Should have used that preparation H back at the rest stop. I could help a bit. I could carry it for a while.
As Frodo watches his friend, he seems to see in slow motion, and his words seem to blur into one another. Is Frodo an elf?
That would explain why Frodo is moving so slow.
Sam continues.
I'll carry it for a while. I could carry it. Share the load. The load. Carry it for a while. Load. Feed me.
Frodo watches Sam, the words echoing in his mind.
Carry it for a while. I could carry it.
Yes, we get the point, Sam. Quiet. Frodo watches Sam, the words continuing to echo in his mind. Thinking of his gerbils eaten by Sam, in a sudden motion, he pushes Sam away. With great repulsion comes great indigestion.
Get away!
Sam, now staggering,
I don't want to keep it.
The angry and confused Frodo stands up and watches Sam, who is lying on the ground. Quite dejectedly, Frodo yells,
There's only enough cream for me.
Sam, question mark.
I just want to help.
What?
I just want to help.
It's help. Help.
Stop speaking like that. Use the H.
Gollum, peeking from behind Frodo's back, gives Sam a satisfied and evil smile. Ooh, this is getting tasty. Like a passionate gopher.
See, he wants it for himself.
Frodo turns to face Sam once more, and this time, the look of confusion is gone, and the mistrust has taken over his face. Sam,
who's now incredibly agitated.
Shut up, you! Go away! Jump off a cliff! Dive into an empty pool!
Sam stands up as Gollum smiles maliciously from behind Frodo's back. Oh, yes! This is good!
Get out of here!
No, Sam. No, it's you.
Sam looks up to meet Frodo's eyes in anguish, his eyes suddenly glistening with tears.
I'm sorry, Sam. I don't need a friend anymore.
In pain, pleadingly.
But he's a liar. He's poisoning you against me.
This isn't how the story goes. You and I both go into the tunnel. Frodo, quite blankly.
You can't help me anymore.
Sam, now weeping like a baby mountain goat.
You don't mean that. You can't leave.
Frodo slowly hands Sam a book with a red cover.
The last pages are for you, Sam.
Gollum, now confused, gets out the script.
Hey, wrong scene, guys.
They look at one another, review their lines, and continue. Silence and shock are now upon Sam's face. Until at last Frodo speaks, his expression empty. Frodo, quite flatly, lifelessly, blandly, frostbite-enthused.
Go home.
Sam the mountain goat watches Frodo, his face drawn in pain, and his tears begin to fall and roll down his cheeks. He sinks to the ground, sobbing aloud, his face in his hands. Beyond, Frodo continues his journey with Gollum. Somewhere in the distance, a dog barks. Scene 18. All shall fade into jello. In Minas Tirith, Faramir and a small host of Gondorian soldiers prepare to retake Osgiliath. The people of Gondor line the streets, but there are expressions of laughter and loathing on each of their faces as they watch their men depart. Some throw flowers onto the streets while others hand them to the soldiers. Yet, of course, there were those who decided to throw hand grenades and shoot rum and candles at them, but they were quickly reprimanded and put to death. Gandalf is present and begins yelling from the crowd.
Faramir! Faramir!
He squeezes through the crowd and hurries forward to walk beside Faramir.
Your father's will has turned to madness. Do not throw away your life so rashly.
Faramir, now surprised.
But I have a rash?
Gandalf explains what rashly means, and Faramir continues his line.
Where does my allegiance lie, if not here?
Gandalf stops and watches as Faramir rides away.
Your father loathes you, Faramir.
You will remember it before the beginning.
Faramir and the soldiers ride through the gates of Minas Tirith. The people of Gondor watch from the walls as the horsemen form a line and gallop towards Osgiliath. In Osgiliath, we see the orcs rise their heads as they see the approaching men. In his hall, Denethor sits upon his throne and eats rather noisily, wiping his face and picking his nose, but beside him stands Pippin, clad in the uniform of a Gondorian janitor.
Can you sing, Master Hobbit?
Softly, sadly, and passionately.
Well, yes. At least, well enough for my own people. But we have no songs for great halls and evil times.
Are you insinuating that I am evil?
Well, your other singers were put to death because they sang Home is Behind, so I assume that you want me to sing it too, just so that you can have the pleasure of watching me die.
And why should your version be unfit for my halls?
Pippin utters no answer. Denethor, now commandingly,
come, sing me a song.
Pippin, looking up and watching Denethor biting into a tomato, the juices running down his chinny chin chin. He takes a breath and begins to sing as Denethor continues to feast. Pippin, now doing a fine job. Pippin, sing! Sing!
Home is behind the world ahead, and there are many.
Yes, yes, we get the point. He sings the song, and Faramir and his men ride towards Osgiliath stupidly, yet they all die. But most, well, except Faramir. Awful. Anyway. Spoiler alert! Denethor continues to eat as the orcs release their flowers. I probably shouldn't have skipped this. Whatever, it's not important.
Pippin turns to look at the unmoved steward. He closes his eyes and swallows the food in his throat. At the same time, Pippin swallowed the food in the steward's throat. Are you sure this was edited? At the same time, Gandalf sits in an empty street with tears in his eyes after hearing his beloved one sing enchantment to his harp. Gandalf,
feel free to fill in the blank here. Well, thank you very much.
Gandalf, while contemplating
that hobbit will be mine.
That was quite rude. Scene 19. Yes, Dunharrow. That's one long scene title. We see how in Osgiliath the troops of Sauron are preparing to attack Minas Tirith. In some spots, Gondorian soldiers are continuing to play rock, paper, scissors, still undefeated since the night before. We then travel way to the west to go to King Theoden and Aragorn on their way to Dunharrow, where the army of Rohan is going to camp out on their way to Gondor. The men stand up as Theoden rides past them, doing a wave. We see several campfires lit with the men singing songs.
Theoden begins questioning his commanders. Grimbold, how many?
I bring 500 men from the West Fold, my lord.
We have 300 from the West March.
We just mentioned the Fen March, Theoden, King Fen March.
Theoden, did I ask you?
Gamling now embarrassed.
No,
Theoden says the following.
I thought so. Now, Gamling, where are the riders from Snowborn?
Gamling now sobbing.
None have come, my lord.
In this next lavishly done scene, Aragorn walks to stand beside Theoden, who is looking down from the landing. Aragorn proceeds to push him over, but Theoden turns.
Theoden, with remorse the size of something large,
6,000 spears, less than half of what I'd hoped for.
Aragorn, with scorn in his teeth,
6,000 will not be enough to break the lines of Mordor.
Theoden, now angrily and misty-eyed,
Dude, given the time you must rust to Rohan, 6,000 is pretty good. More will come. Just keep your pants on.
Aragorn proceeds to put on his pants.
Every hour lost hastens Gondor's victory. We have till lunch, then we must ride. But hold your horses, I need to pee.
Theoden rolls his eyes and looks at Aragorn and nods. They both turn to look behind their backs. But Aragorn, seeing his chance, throws Theoden over the edge. Literally, that's a high mountain. Meanwhile, we see that the men are having trouble controlling their horses.
Legolas,
who recently returned from the hospital from his gunshot wound, proceeds to walk with Gimli over to see Éomer.
Legolas, now permitted to speak out,
The horses are restless, and the men are quiet.
Éomer, quite pensively,
They grow nervous in the shadow of the mountain.
They both look at the splendor of those racist white mountains. Gimli chimes in with inquisitiveness.
That road there, where does that lead?
The Mall?
It is the road to the Dimholt, the door under the mountain. A place where nightmares, fear, Oprah, and foxes eat pine cones.
Am I now confused?
Though none who venture there ever return. That mountain is evil.
Aragorn walks towards the split in the mountain and wonders how it does it. He attempts to do a split but hurts his friends in the process. As the camera zooms into the narrow path, we see the King of the Dead flicker there quickly. And then again, and again, until he needs to recharge his batteries. He then disappears, and then he stops. Stops disappearing? As he watches, Gimli walks to him cheerily, and puts his hat onto the ranger's arm.
Aragorn!
Aragorn, startled tremendously, and screams like Lando from Star Wars.
Yow!
Gimli, let's find some food.
Let's find some food.
That didn't really feel right, Gimli. Anyway, we'll keep going.
Before following, Aragorn glances in the direction of the mountain, but the King of the Dead is there no more. Obviously because he's dead. He then washes his hands. Scene 20. Andúril with a cameo from Jerry. It is nighttime in Dunharrow, and Eowyn and Merry stand alone in a tent. The young hobbit is clad in the armor of the Rohirrim. Eowyn places a large helmet onto Merry's head, which therefore crushes it, causing a massive hemorrhage, and smiles.
There. A true es...
There. A true esquire of Rohan.
Merry feels his helmet, a smile of excitement on his face. He draws his sword, and Eowyn leans back, startled but laughing. I'm ready.
Sorry. It isn't all that dangerous.
Examining his blade, he says the following line. Here. Now.
You know, this reminds me of a time back in grade school. But that's not important. This blade isn't even sharp.
Well, that's no good. You won't kill many cats with a blunt blade. You need a claymore. Come on.
She leads Merry out of the tent. Outside, Eowyn and Gambling are eating at Eowyn's beheaded horse. Oh, gosh. By a fire as Merry swings with his sword, Eowyn walking behind him, quite happily, to the
smithy. Go!
Eowyn watches with a smile as the young hobbit runs off into the distance, killing any who oppose him. Eomer, judgingly,
you should not encourage him.
You should not doubt him.
You should make some pies.
You should die.
Line? Where did she go?
Anyway, why do you doubt him?
Eomer, speaking like a court jester.
I do not doubt his heart, only the reach of his arm!
Gambling laughs! Eowyn, now challenging them.
Why should Merry be left behind? He has as much cause to go to war as you.
Eomer is silent. Eowyn walks off a little, turning her face away as she looks out into the distance beyond the highway. And with a trace of bitterness.
Why can he not fight for those he loves?
Eomer now menacingly. Whew. Menacingly like a brother on crack.
War is the province of men, Eowyn. Scooping up horse chips is a woman's province. Deal with it.
In the distance, a cloaked figure rides towards the encampment. Inside his tent, Aragorn shifts restlessly in his sleep as he dreams of Arwen, dying upon her bed in Rivendell after he shot her. Wait, when did that happen? A haunted look is upon her face as she opens her eyes. And in a flash, we see the entrance to the Dimholt Road.
Oh no, another voiceover from Arwen.
I choose a mortal life.
Aragorn, in the same voiceover.
I choose to kill you.
Arwen lies in Rivendell, a single tear rolling down her cheek.
I wish that I could have seen him one last time.
Don't you get it? I don't like you, and this never happens in the book.
As she closes her eyes, she sees the Evenstar falling slowly to the ground, shattering like a million shards of broken light. Wait, that didn't happen in the book. Aragorn awakens suddenly and pulls out his nifty knife. He gets up on his waterbed to see one of the Rohirrim guards standing in the doorway taking pictures. This soldier, confusingly, but then it becomes bland after that.
Sir? King Theoden awaits you, my lord.
Aragorn breathes heavily and follows the soldier to Theoden's tent. Inside, the king, now with multiple bandages from his tumble down the cliff, stands beside the cloaked figure.
I take my leave.
Theoden leaves, and Aragorn watches as the person before him rises from his seat and removes his hood. Aragorn looks at him in surprise and bows his head.
My lord Elrond,
the hell are you doing here? Elrond, quite proudly.
I come on behalf of one whom I love. Arwen is dying.
Aragorn smiles and continues to stare at Elrond.
She will not long survive the evil that now spreads from Mordor. The light of the Evenstar is failing. As Sauron's power lessens, her strength increases. Arwen's life is now tied to the fate of the ring.
We both want to see her dead. The shadow is upon us, Aragorn. The end has come. We must stall Frodo as much as possible if we want to see her go bye-bye.
Aragorn, with intense frustration in his eyeballs. How did you get here? Why are you here? You
aren't even supposed to be anywhere near this place. Oh, and by the way, those elves you sent to Helm's Deep didn't help in the slightest. A pointless addition to an already great battle.
Elrond, now ignoring most of what was just said.
I took the shuttle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you and Arwen, huh?
Well, not really. She ruined the last movie, so I'm keeping my distance. Have the fares lessened on the shuttles?
No, Sauron still has that 95-25 fee. It will be the end for us if the price continues to rise. Aragorn, quite frustratingly,
it will not be our end, but his.
Elrond, mockingly, you ride to war, but not to victory.
Aragorn, something could be said at this moment. However, the world will never hear of it.
Sauron's army is much on Minas Tirith, this you know, but in secret he sends another force which will attack from the river.
We see another flash, whatever, to the black ships and the corsairs of Umbar.
A fleet of corsair ships sails from the south. They'll be in the city in 2 days.
But make it 5. No, sometime this month they will be in the city. You're outnumbered, Aragorn.
You need more men.
Aragorn, gloriously,
there are none.
Well, according to Peter Jackson, anyway, there are those in the south and in central Gondor. Let us not forget those along the river, too, and Prince Imrahil evidently wasn't invited, so that's about 3,000 men less men that we could have had, I think. I think there were more. But it doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, don't forget the 30 rangers and both of your sons. There are those who dwell in the mountains. Have you cared to ask them?
We see a shot of the King of the Dead. Suddenly a strong wind blows in the tent. Obviously Gollum was outside.
Sorry.
Aragorn, now getting back to the story, he responds with repulsion.
Murderers. Traitors. Cheaters. Men. You will call upon them to fight. They believe in nothing. They answer to no one.
Elrond, now sincerely your brother-in-arms, Elrond.
They will answer to the King of Gondor.
Swiftly, Elrond pulls the sword Anaril from under his robes and holds it out to Aragorn, who is now beheaded because Elrond unsheathed it upon reveal.
You know, I really don't want to read anymore.
Hello? What in the world just happened? Everything went blank. I mean, the audience won't know, but it was silent enough. It did it again.
So yes, Aragorn was beheaded, of course, as Elrond pulled the sword out quite quickly. Elrond, with flame in his eyebrows.
Anduril, flame of the west, forged from the shards of Narsil.
He pauses to pause.
Actually, I bought it from Weda. My fellow elven smiths were taking too long.
Aragorn puts his head back on and walks over to Elrond and examines the sword. He does a carbon dating examination and a complete physical of the sword, the details of which will never be spoken of till the world is broken. He takes it into his precious hands. Aragorn, while candidly facing a choir of chipmunks.
Thar, I would not have forgotten the sword of Elendi. You know the sword I've had the whole time. I've prepared myself to be king, but you act like I have been resisting that calling.
Aragorn unsheaths his Anduril and scans it from hilt to top. Its blade glimmering in the dimly lit tent. Aragorn, now commanding all to bow before him.
The blade that was broken shall return to Minas Tirith, not broken,
Elrond says. Right.
The man who can wield the power of this sword can summon from an army modeli that any of the orcs is there.
What?
Any of the orcs is there.
You said that quite quickly.
I agree, Aragorn. Elrond, repeat.
The man who could wield the power of this sword can summon to him an army more deadly than any that...
Were you hoping we wouldn't notice?
Aragorn tries to help.
Walks?
Still nothing.
This? Path?
Aragorn, disappointed.
How did you get this spot?
Elrond looking down. I
don't know.
Aragorn, kindly but with hatred.
Please continue.
Elrond regains his shattered confidence and proceeds to deliver his lines.
Put aside the forest, stranger. Become who you were born to be. Take the Dimholt Road, not the Smoky the Bear way.
Aragorn blinks his eyes, trying to get something out, and lowers his sword. Elrond says in Elvish,
O Neni Esteli Daini.
That actually sounded quite lovely.
Aragorn replies in Elvish,
Okebe, Estella Nim,
which is translated, I have kept no hope for myself. Beautiful, beautiful. Aragorn, what did we just say?
Elrond shrugs his elven shoulders. I don't know.
Aragorn resheathes his sword. Outside the tent, Aragorn fastens his gear to Brego's broken back. Eowyn walks to Aragorn. She is despairingly out of breath.
Why are you doing this? The war lies to the east. You cannot leave on the eve of battle.
Aragorn looks at her.
Eowyn
forces a tear to form in her central eye.
You cannot abandon the men.
Eowyn.
We need you here.
You mean you need me here, right? Why have you come?
Eowyn is silent for a while and watches Aragorn. And now, like a puppy in trouble.
Do you not know?
They look at each other in silence. Eowyn's eyes glisten with tears.
Aragorn, now gently.
It's but a shadow and thought that you love. I can't give you what you seek. Get out of here.
Wow, that was quite cruel. Wait, where did these people come from? What was that? Okay. Eowyn backs away, pain written upon her face. Aragorn takes a wet cloth and wipes it off. He then takes Brego and walks away, leaving Eowyn to stand alone, her eyes still shining with tears. I thought they were glistening with tears. Now insert Jerry Springer. That doesn't sound like a very elvish name. What does it say? He gives his usual end of the show recap, which usually makes no sense. Okay, take it away, Jerry.
We found out today that love isn't all it's cracked up to be. Through all of my many shows, real or fake, we discovered a Machiavellian sense of self. Disturbingly, the end of the line comes once a man recognizes what a woman decides. Our society dwells on results and facts, too. No faith is present. We must first accept the work involved and then respond with harshness, without giving up. Willy Wonka once said, "It's yours, Charlie. I'm getting too old. Oompa Loompas. We'll see you next time."
Aragorn and Eowyn look at each other with confusion. As Aragorn was walking towards the crack in the mountain, he sees Gimli standing before him.
"Just where do you think you're off to?"
"Not this time. This time you must stay, Gimli."
The stout dwarf stands his ground and is joined by Legolas, who leads his horse.
"Have you learned nothing of the stubbornness of dwarves?"
"Might as well accept it. We're going with you, laddie."
Aragorn, now muttering angrily to himself,
"I really hate that elf guy. I'm going to have one of those ghosts kill him. Yes, I'll summon a ghost to kill him. Legolas will die. And that dwarf, too."
With a smile, Aragorn leaves with his, quote-unquote, friends down the Dimholt Road. Back in the encampment, the soldiers watch as they leave, King Theoden with them. A random soldier starts saying,
"Where's he going? I don't understand. Lord Aragorn, why does he leave on the Christmas Eve of battle?"
As the three figures disappear, a ring of soldiers turns to each other in despair. They all sing a song and go to sleep. Gambling enters the fray in frustration.
"He leaves because there is no dope."
Theoden zips his backpack closed.
"He leaves because he must."
Gambling says this.
"Too few have come. We cannot defeat the armies of Mordor.
O ye of little faith."
"No, we cannot."
Quite proudly.
"But we will meet them in battle nonetheless, Inessus."
The soldiers hastily raise their heads and shout, "Poop!" Oh, childish. That never happened.
I'm done. Nope. I'm finished. You can't make me stay. Put freaking pants on!